Hunter and Rich are always with you.
That's just gross.
Open the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, and you'll be listening to Boston's home for sports. It's just that simple.
Okay, you sold me.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Tim McCone, Joe Haggerty in for Zoe and Beetle today on the day after Christmas. Been talking a lot of Celtics today, also some Patriots stuff and some returns of the 2018 season. We've had some people on Twitter reach out about returns. We had Matt in Framingham tweet us two Boston trades he'd want to return on: the Bruins getting Rick Nash, and the Patriots trading Brandon Cooks. The Rick Nash deal was one of your returns, too. When you look back on that one, Hags, you think that's ultimately one that the Bruins would want back?
They'd like the first-round pick back.
Yeah.
I would put it that way. I think, ultimately, they knew they were doing it for the right reasons. It should have worked. It was the right move on paper to make. You know, all the ingredients were there for that to really work out for them. Ultimately, it didn't, obviously. You know, he came in, he looked really good in the first few games. He ends up getting a concussion. He plays very tentative when he came back. He hasn't played at all this year. Basically, looks like he's retired now.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something I think the Bruins couldn't have predicted or didn't predict, was that he was going to get a concussion. It was going to take things sideways. You know, they gave up a first-round pick, and they gave up a big package for him because they thought, I think the thinking was, they were going to bring him in last year and they were going to sign him to an extension. He was going to stay here for a while.
Yeah, that was going to be the guy.
And that's why they gave up the first round pick for him. You know, so, you know, in hindsight, yes, it didn't work out. I think they believe they were making the right move at the time, though. What it's going to affect, I believe, now is their willingness to trade a first round pick for that kind of player again this year. And maybe that limits who you're going to be able to get as far as impact goes for a top six winger spot with David Krejci, because you're not willing to trade away one of those first round pick. And that's where I think the real impact is. It's too bad it didn't work out. But at the time, I didn't have a problem with it, and I certainly think the Bruins were excited about it. It just didn't work out that way.
Well, you mentioned it there in your article on NBC Sports Boston. You put out a Christmas list for every single Bruin, and Don Sweeney's was a top six power forward on the wing. So that brings us to a call from Brian here from Fitchburg, who wants to talk possible moves the Bruins could make with Hags. Brian, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
What's up, Brian?
Hey, Hags, before I get to the trade, yesterday I spent all morning watching Christmas and Disney stuff, and that Galaxy Edge new hotel, the Star Wars hotel, looks pretty badass in a couple of years, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I know it's also an arm and a leg, and it's super expensive, but we may see the Haggerty family down there at some point.
Hey, so, you know, reading on TSN and a lot of the reports, as well as, you know, from you, a lot of talk about Wayne Simmons, a lot of talk about Tarasenko, but I think that's going to pull a first-round pick or, you know, a Donato or McAvoy, only because it's been publicized so much. I haven't heard any chatter, and I know that he signed for another 2 or 3 years at $4.5 million. What about trying to pull away Kyle Palmieri out of Jersey?
Yeah, I think there are players like that that the Bruins could potentially go after. I know Charlie Coyle's name has been mentioned quite a bit as well. There are some sort of, you know, maybe not household names, but players that could come in and be better than what you have, certainly. Some of the young guys that you're trying to play in those spots. I mean, they've played Joakim Nordstrom top six with Krejci quite a bit this year, and clearly he's not the answer, and that's because you do not have the right player to put in there. And it's been really instructive, I think, or it was, to see David Krejci in Bergeron's spot with Marchand, with Pasternak, you know, for an eight-game stretch, where he scored 5 goals, had 11 points, looked like the David Krejci of old, you know, well over a point per game player.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you realize, hey, David Krejci still has game, and David Krejci can still be David Krejci if you put two quality wingers that can put the puck in the net and make plays around him. And those are the kind of guys you need. You know, Palmieri would be an improvement, and it wouldn't cost you as much. The fact that he's got term, though, and that he signed for a few more years, I think the Devils would still want I think that's where the Bruins would give up a first-round pick for the right player if it was somebody that has term, somebody that's going to be with the team for a while, somebody that they thought they were going to re-sign. You know, that's what you could see them give up an asset like that. But, you know, there are guys like Coyle, like Palmieri, like other players out there that they could bring in. My problem is, does that kind of a guy become a game-breaking difference maker for you? Is that the kind of guy that's going to light up David Krejci and make him the best version of Krejci at this point in his career? I don't know. You know, I think that they would be better off, you know, going for somebody else that is more of a dangerous commodity around the league. But that being said, Palmieri's been very good. He's been good in the playoffs. So, you know, maybe he would be the right fit at the right price.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Steve in Salem. Steve, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Joe, I wanted to ask you Bruins question. So there was a rumor a couple weeks ago that they were interested in Charlie Coyle.
Yeah.
So am I correct to assume that they would be interested in guys that are similar to Charlie Coyle, kind of like big power forward types?
Well, they definitely need a big power forward type. There's no question about that. And I think that they're interested in anybody that's going to make them a better team right now. And guys like Charlie Coyle are better than Danton Heinen, Anders Bjork. You know, Ryan Donato has been better lately. I still don't think you quite know what you have there yet. You know, it looked so good last year and has struggled at points in this year. But, you know, an established, bigger-sized guy like a Coyle or somebody else, yeah, would be an upgrade and would be a better fit. The Bruins are certainly interested in these players. I think it depends on the price. And, you know, ultimately, I know Coyle's a Weymouth guy. I know he played at BU. He checks a lot of the boxes of what the Bruins are interested in as far as players that they bring in, players that they like. Once again, he's only been over 20 goals once in his career. I think he's only been over 40 points a couple of times. We're not talking about a game-breaking type player, a guy that's really going to come in and make a huge difference. You know, is he the answer? I don't know. I think I would be setting my sights higher personally at the trade deadline than Charlie Coyle, but I think the Bruins have interest in any winger that's better than what they have now, and Charlie Coyle definitely qualifies. Palmieri qualifies. You know, Artemi Panarin definitely qualifies. You know, certainly Tarasenko qualifies. A guy like Wayne Simmonds does. There's a lot of names of guys that are potentially going to be out there, I think, before the deadline that are going to be good. You just have to be patient because a lot of them are not going to move right now. You have to wait until closer to the trade deadline. And you're probably, if you're the Bruins, going to have to get by with what you have right now for the time being.
Ultimately, when you get to the deadline, I mean, how much and how big of a package do you think that the Boston's willing to put together to get that guy?
Well, like I said, if it's a player with term, a younger player that's going to be here for a while, I think they would give up a first-round pick. They would do it grudgingly, and I don't think it's something Don Sweeney wants to do. But I think a player like that, you could make the argument that it's okay to trade the first round pick. I think a guy like Anders Bjork could end up being on the move. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he's a long-term fit here. You know, he's certainly guys like Jakob Zboril, Zach Sinishin, your first round picks from 2015 that maybe at some point could use a change in scenery and don't necessarily look like they're going to catch on here. Those kind of guys could be involved as well. I think they want to avoid trading Ryan Donato. They still like Donato. I think they still want him to be a part of what's going on here. They like Danton Heinen. They like some of their other young defensemen. I don't think Charlie McAvoy is going anywhere. You know, so I think that's what you're looking at. I think they still have a lot of assets as far as young players and draft picks that they have to deal, and there's not going to be any lack of that. But you could see it with Don Sweeney last year. He traded a prospect in the Rick Nash deal who was a pretty good player but not a great player. And he still did not want to do it as far as prospects go. He is going to be so hesitant on trading any of those prospects that it's going to have to be the right deal for the Bruins.
617-779-0985. I want to sneak in one more call here, and I'm going to jump Mike up to the front of the line, Mike in Danvers, just because of the comment line here. Mike, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Mike?
So I'm not, you know, I just don't understand for the life of me why they're not looking at Lucic. I mean, I think, what's he got? 2 years left on his, 1 year, I think, left on his contract with Edmonton. Correct?
I think he's got more than 1 year. I think he's got a few years.
Okay, so and what's he making, about four or five a year?
No, he's making six, I believe.
Six. So
he's making the same as Backes.
Right, okay, but they look, well, he's more talented than Backes. He's going to give you more goals than Backes right now, in my opinion. I mean, I just, even if you have the guy for a couple of years, two, 3 years, he's a big power forward. That's what they're looking for, and I just don't understand why they're not looking at him.
See, I don't mind the Lucic back to the Bruins talk, because I think that you could buy low on him with Edmonton right now. Maybe you get them to take on a portion of his contract. And I think Lucic for the next couple of years at $4 million, at $3 million a year is something you could deal with, and something that wouldn't be horrendous as far as the cap implications go. And he brings back the physicality. He brings back the intimidation. He brings back a lot of the identity points that this Bruins team have from the past. But let's also be honest. You know, he's older now. He's logged a lot of hard miles. He's not the player he was. I don't think he's going to be the offensive producer he was at his best with the Bruins. I don't even think he's a 20-goal scorer in the NHL anymore. He does have past chemistry with David Krejci. There's a lot of things he could bring to the table and he would bring back here that would be good. Like, I personally don't like seeing David Pastrnak targeted and getting smacked around in a lot of these games. You know, he's a target for physicality. He has a lot of players take runs at him. There's not a lot of response going on from the Bruins. They're not that kind of team anymore. And you know, when they do respond, it's Torrey Krug, it's Brad Marchand, it's Noel Chari. It's the smallest guys on the team, Matt Grzelcyk, that are doing the dirty work for the Bruins. And they could use a guy like Lucic up front. They need another big body, another power forward that could bring up a little bit of that fear factor back. The issue is, anytime you're bringing in players now that are power forward types that play like that, you have to get them from another team. They're older. They're starting to break down. They overpaid for Backes to get that kind of player. They'd be overpaying for Lucic to bring him back here. What the Bruins should be doing is making it more of a priority in the draft to go get the next Milan Lucic, the next Tom Wilson, the next power forward guy that's available that plays mean, that plays hard, that can put the puck in the net, that plays the Bruins style to add to what they already have. I think they've been drafting too much speed, too much skill all the time. You have to draft different players at different times. And I think something that should be a priority for this team in the draft is a big power forward that plays mean. And there's not a lot of them available, so you have to make it a priority to get them. And I think it's something the Bruins should do. Then you get your best years with that player like they got with Lucic in his first run with the team, rather than going back and getting him and trying to recreate the magic now when he's clearly not the player he used to be. I wouldn't hate it if he came back here, because I think it's something the Bruins need, but he's just not going to be the guy that he was here before if you bring him back.
617-779-0985. We have one line open. Joe Haggerty, Tim McCone, and Vrsoljak and Bertrand. We'll get more to your calls coming up after this.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Joe Haggerty in for Zolak and Bertrand today. Matt McCarthy on Hub Headlines. Talked a lot of Patriots, a lot of Celtics. Returns. We've established the fact that a gift card for a girlfriend, not a great gift.
You know what? Go spa gift certificate. If you're going to go gift certificate, that's the one you should go for.
Never
buddy.
You know what? That's not a
bad
idea.
That's the one you should go for.
I like that. Yeah. All right. 617-779-0985. We could do that. Also need to get into some muffin talk. I had a muffin for breakfast, and I popped the top off in the jock lounge there, and Matt McCarthy pretty much gasped, said he'd never seen it before.
I had no idea what the hell I was watching. I was like, you freak, what are you doing? What are you doing to your muffin? What the hell is going on here?
Did you pop the top off?
I could go either way. I do either one. More so popping the top off the muffin if I'm going to put butter like in the middle of it. But like I will also plenty of time just grab the muffin and
eat it like an apple. I think that's a savage move. Yeah. I think you're an absolute savage if you're eating a muffin like that. 617-779-0985. We can certainly get your thoughts on muffins as well as we make our way closer and closer to 2 o'clock. That's when Marshall Hook and Michael Hurley take over for Felger and Mass today. Again, 617-779-0985. Talking Bruins right now with Hags. Let's get back to your calls and let's talk to Dave in the car. Dave, what's up?
Hey guys, how you doing? I just wanted to jump in on the acquisition talk real quick. A quick point before I get to my call line. Haggerty, I like what you said about building to the draft for the power forward position. If they are going to overpay for a guy instead of Lucic, I'd rather see a Wayne Simmonds or a Ryan Getzlaff if the Ducks fall down more towards the bottom of the league. But the real reason for my call is I want to see if the Bruins would be in position to trade for Matt Duchene out of Ottawa. They're terrible. And what would it take to get him?
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think the Bruins are in on Matt Duchene, and I don't think they're going to be interested in Matt Duchene. And it's just a sense I get. You know, I think he's obviously a guy that would there would be some cost associated with getting him, just like, you know, the other players around the league that are in his situation, and they'd have to give up to get. Obviously, Ottawa looks like a team that's going to be trading off players. But I can tell you this. I think there's knowledge around the league that the Colorado Avalanche got a lot better after they traded Matt Duchene. You know, a guy like Nathan MacKinnon started playing a lot better after mm-hmm. they traded Matt Duchene. And then he gets traded to Ottawa. Ottawa goes in the tank. There's video of him and other players in that Uber car, bad-mouthing the coaches, look, yeah. and Duchene was right in the middle of that.
Yep.
You know, I think there's a reputation there that this is a guy that does not make your team better. This is a guy that does not work hard. This is a guy that is not really committed, you know, the way that you need players to be your best players to be committed. So clearly there's tons of talent with him, but I think there's a reputation. And I think within the Bruins offices, I don't know that there's a huge appreciation for him because of that reputation. I don't think they want to bring a guy like that in. So, you know, maybe if it comes down to it and he's the only guy you have left and it's
and
a desperate
move right.
and the price is right and, you know, you bring him in for a test run to see how he's going to do and you don't have to give up as much. But I just don't think of all the players that are involved, I think there's a lot of danger and warning signs with Matt Duchene that are going to scare the Bruins off, and rightfully so. Just look at Colorado. Look how much better that team got after he got traded. That's always a warning sign for a player that there's an issue there. And the fact that he got caught on tape afterwards, you know, bad-mouthing a coach and bragging about, like, I haven't paid attention to what's going on in the penalty kill in weeks. Like, that makes him look so bad.
Yeah.
And I think it's very indicative of what he is as a player. You don't trade for guys like that. Let somebody else make the mistake with Matt Duchene.
617-779-0985. Let's talk to Joel. Joel, what's up? Joel.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I had you on mute.
No worries.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I wanted to chime in on the the Lucic conversation. Although huge Lucic fan, I was not happy when the Bruins traded him. I do question whether a guy like Sweeney or any GM for that matter is going to want to look backwards, especially sort of going back to Peter Chiarelli decisions. I guess my question to you is, how many times in history has a team, and this isn't a leading question, I'm really curious, how many times has a team gone back and reacquired a guy they've traded?
Yeah, it's definitely happened before. There's no question about that. A player of Lucic's stature, I don't think it happens that often. You know, and you're right. It would be an admission that they traded something away that they needed. I think there's also a hurdle of, are Don Sweeney and Cam Neely going to make a deal with Peter Chiarelli? And is a trade between Edmonton and the Bruins ever going to happen with the GM that they fired here, basically, and replaced with Don Sweeney? You know, is there enough water under the bridge where you would be able to make a trade with that team? You know, I risk potentially losing in making a trade with a, you know, a GM that you got rid of, and the optics of that, you know, and the criticism that would happen if Chiarelli and the Oilers got the better of the deal in that particular instance. And, you know, I think there's a lot there of hurdles where it probably wouldn't happen. That's why I don't think it's going to happen, because I think there are too many reasons why it would be too difficult to complete that deal. But, you know, you would hope at some point, if the Bruins see a need for something, if they've pinpointed, we really need somebody up front with some toughness, with physicality, a guy that's going to protect our skill players because there's too many liberties being taken against our guys, that they would recognize that and do what's best for the team and not care about, like, whether it was a mistake or whatever. I don't know that it was a mistake dealing Lucic away, because look at his numbers. They've gone down since they traded him away.
Yeah.
They got first-round picks back for him. Like, they got a good package back for him. I don't think anybody's been real critical of what they got back in that trade. Maybe they've been critical of, you know, not filling the Lucic hole on that roster with a player like him. But, you know, I always hope the GMs and front office people don't care about being criticized or admitting they made a mistake or whatever else. You just do what's best for the team. Flat, period, end of sentence.
That's the one thing you look at Bill Belichick and never been afraid to.
Yeah.
Even if he misses on a guy in a first or second round, if he realizes that it's time to cut ties with that guy, it doesn't really matter the way you look. It's just, let's do what's best for the team.
And Steve Kampfer, if you want to look at an example of a guy they've brought back immediately this year,
yeah,
who they traded away, and then they brought back as a seventh defenseman. That's an example right there. And I know there's a bunch more I could think of if I really wanted to.
I was trying to think of the biggest ones in Boston sports. I think Antoine Walker coming back for the Celtics was big. Mm-hmm. Remember they bring him back in like 03 or 04, and then Deion Branch in 2010 when the Pats bring him back. Both of those worked out relatively well. The Antoine Walker one was a little interesting. Let's stay with the Lucic thing. Mark wants to talk a potential Lucic trade with you. Mark, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I don't know if you guys heard about this, but there was, I know you guys talked about the reasons why it wouldn't happen, but Sweeney was in the building the other week, I guess, in Edmonton. I don't know what he'd be doing over there other than scouting.
I can tell you right now, there was Junior A championships going on in Edmonton with a lot of young players out there, and that's why he was in the building in Edmonton, because he was already out there watching a lot of young prospects and young players. It wasn't because he was scouting anybody from the Edmonton Oilers. I know, you know, whenever you see a GM in a building, especially that far away, the radar goes up. But I don't think it had anything to do with scouting Lucic. I think he was just by happenstance going to that game because he was already out there.
And also, I know his old coach just got hired there. Any chance Backus Lucic 1-for-1?
Yeah, I mean, and that's been kicked around. You know, would it make sense for both sides to make a trade like that where, you know, Backus is kind of a third, fourth liner. You know, it looks like he slowed down a bit. Certainly he's not the player they thought that they were getting when they signed him, and he really wasn't the first couple of years because he had some health issues and some things that kept him, you know, from even being like a 20 goal 50 point guy, and now he clearly looks like he's not that. But you know, it makes sense on a lot of levels. I think Lucic, his contract I believe is a little longer than Backus's, which would also be a problem that you're paying a little bit more on the back end. If you know, I don't know. I would think about making the move. I think Lucic coming back here would give the Bruins something. I think he would be energized to come back here. I think it would certainly be good for the entertainment value. I think the fans love a player like that, and they would like to see somebody in the lineup like that again. So there's a lot of reasons to do it. I just that one, you'd have to admit on some level you made a mistake by trading Lucic away, and you'd also have to admit on some level you made a mistake by signing Backus to the contract that you did. And that's a lot to pull off in one deal. Right. I don't know if that's going to happen.
All right, 617-779-0985. Tim McCone, Joe Haggerty, and for Zolak and Bertrand. We'll continue with your calls next. But first, let's get headlines from Matt McCarthy.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Zolak and Bertrand, Tim McCone, Joe Haggerty in for the guys today, day after Christmas, taking your calls. Been talking a lot of Bruins this hour, and we'll keep it going. 617-779-0985. A few minutes left here before we hand things over to Marshall Hook and Michael Hurley. So let's go back to the calls, and let's talk to Phil in Marshfield. Phil, what's up?
Hey, boys. Just curious, Mr. Haggerty, you were saying earlier that it would be better to go with somebody like a power forward from the draft, just instead of going with an older guy. I'm completely with you. I think that with David Backus being the age he is, I think it would be a good time to get a new kid in there and to learn from one of the old guys. Just wondering who you're thinking with this upcoming draft, if anybody. Thanks. Well, I'll hang up.
Yeah, I haven't actually, I'll be honest with you, I've not looked at the draft prospects that deeply to see what kind of power forward types there could be coming up this year that would be the next Tom Wilson, Milan Lucic, you know, whatever. The one thing I will say is the Bruins do have a guy in Trent Frederick down in Providence that's a prospect. Big, strong, has dropped the gloves a few times, likes to play physical, is more in that sort of style. And, you know, we'll see how close he can be to the type of player that the Bruins need. I don't know that he's necessarily exactly the kind of player that I'm talking about. I think he's more of, you know, a good all-around player, a good potential like third-line center, maybe higher than that. Certainly he's going to have some offensive upside. You know, but there is some toughness to him, and I do want to see how it translates at the NHL level when he's given a shot. You know, they've given Jacob Forsbacka-Carlson a chance here. He's mixed results. He's done okay. He's been scratched the last few games. It seems like getting his motor running consistently has been an issue. And getting him to be assertive, aggressive, and continue to play the way he needs to play every single night to be at the NHL level. There's almost like there's a little bit too much of a laid-back approach in his game despite the skills. I want to see Frederick up at some point this year and see what he can bring to the table and see if he can bring a little bit more of what the Bruins need. He's a St. Louis kid. He idolized Backes growing up. I think it would be really good for him to be up on the NHL level with Backes to kind of learn from him at the NHL level. Certainly he did that during training camp after he left college last year and had his first full training camp with the Bruins. So, you know, at least they have somebody in the system who can do some of those things, and I want to see how he turns out as a player. But like I said before, I still don't think he's quite the guy that I'm talking about. I think they want to get a guy that's like the nastiest guy in junior hockey that can play a top six role, you know, is going to play on the edge, may go over it sometimes, is going to scare opponents, and bring some of that part of the Bruins' identity back to the team, because I think some of that is missing right now from the Bruins. I think the fans see it, I see it, and you'd like to see some of it back.
617-779-0985. Let's keep the calls going. Let's talk to Demo in South Boston. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Just a quick question for you guys. What about Van Riemsdyk in Philly? I know that Toronto couldn't keep him because they couldn't make it work with the salary cap, but I think he'd be an awesome fit, especially in the second line with Krejci, and maybe even kind of sparking back into play a little bit more grittier, a little more with a little more force. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, he's definitely not like an intimidating player, sort of what I was just referencing, but he's definitely a guy that will play in front of the net, will pay the price to score goals. He was a guy that I certainly had mentioned this summer, you know, when he was going to be a free agent and be out there for the taking, that he was a guy that you could potentially look at as somebody you could go after. He's been hurt a lot in Philly. He's been down there and hadn't played a lot in the beginning portions of the season, so... You know, maybe if he becomes available, you know, that's somebody you could certainly look at. I think short-term wise, you know, he could be a good fit. I think long-term wise, you know, I don't know that I would sign up for a long period of time with him. But he's definitely in the mix, and he's better than what they have.
But he makes $7 million a year for the next 5 years. Right. So when you talk about a short-term commitment, that's not it with James Van Riemsdyk.
Exactly. And that's why I don't think he's high up on the list of guys I would go after. Same thing. Lucic, I believe, is 4 years after this year. So like that's a reason why he's probably a non-starter too. Just give you the amount of money you'd be paying for a declining player. You know, those are the kind of deals where you're chasing it, and you know you're cleaning up another team's mistake, so to speak. The best thing you can do is start from scratch, get a young player that plays that way, and enjoy the best years of his career.
So I'm looking at it. Milan Lucic is going to be an unrestricted free agent in the 2023-24 season, and up until then, he's a $6 million cap.
Right. So unless the Oilers were willing to swallow half of his contract, and you got him as like a $3 million a year player for the balance.
Yep.
Like, I think that's something you could deal with. That's something that would be okay. And in at least the next few years, he would live up to that contract before he became an issue with $3 million a year. But at $6 million a year for that kind of term that you'd have to pay, I just don't think you could do it. And, you know, there's too many reasons why you wouldn't want to do that.
617-779-0985. You know, we talk about the potential of Lucic coming back. We talked about some of the players that have left New England, Boston, and come back and had an impact on the same team they started. Chris wanted to jump in on that. Chris in the car, what's going on?
Hi, guys. How are you? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Chris.
Awesome, guys. No, it was Patrick Chung. I just got my car. I was driving home from work. I just thought about Patrick Chung, how Bill brought him back. Was that a swallow of the chip? Or what do you guys think about Patrick Chung? I mean, that's the only one else I could think about. Thank you for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, Patrick Chung is a guy that obviously they came back. He didn't really have a terrific first stint with the Patriots either, obviously. I think he's probably best remembered for the fake punt, right? And maybe the Miami game when he had that Monday night game when he had a couple big plays. But remember that fake punt run against the Jets in the playoffs that didn't exactly go well. But
he got beat on the Manningham play too. He was a half second late to that, the Manningham play in the Super Bowl, because they were using him as a deep safety. That's not who he is.
Right. They kind of figured that out after he went away. Where did he go? Philly, right?
He went to Philly for a year and was not good there.
Mm-hmm.
He totally turned his career around and became a very good safety for them once they figured out how to use him.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. People loving the trade talk with you right now, Hags. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin's got an idea for the Bruins. What's up?
Hi, you guys. How you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Well, I wanted to throw out there something else that I was thinking about. I mean, with Grzelcyk and McAvoy moving back on the power play, what do you guys think about moving a Torrey Krug for like a Charlie Coyle? And bringing a big forward in and keeping some of your power play finesse with some of the other guys.
Yeah, see, I would be okay with moving Torrey Krug, and I think he is your most tradable piece right now because his cap hit isn't out of this world. He's an incredibly productive defenseman. Going into this season, I think there were only three or four defensemen that had more points than him over the last couple of years, and you're talking like Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns.
Yeah, like elite, huge
names.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's the kind of guy that you could sell another team and say, look, he's a smaller defenseman, but he's played 20 minutes a night for us, survived, played top 4 minutes, and he's dynamic on the power play. He could change your power play if it's a power play that's not very good and really elevate it. You know, and there's a lot of things to like about him, and that's why his value is high as a trade asset. If I were trading Torrey Krug, I would be aiming higher than Charlie Coyle. I know a lot of people like him around here. He's a local boy done good, but like I said before, he scored only 20 goals, playing 20 plus goals once in his career. I think he's had 40 points maybe twice in his career. I think the Minnesota Wild want to trade him right now because they've realized he's kind of hit a ceiling.
Yep.
And he's not going to get any better than he is right now in his mid to late 20s. You know, his contract isn't out of this world. It's manageable. But I think he's similar to a lot of guys that you have now. I don't think he's that much better than the young guys you're trying to groom and bring in. Would he be better than them? Yes. Incrementally. I just don't think he's the kind of, you know, game-changing move or big move that you're going to make that's all of a sudden going to put you in the conversation with Tampa Bay and say that you're going to be able to beat the Lightning in the playoffs. I think if you're going to trade Krug, who's one of the elite offensive defensemen in the league, you need to be looking a little bit higher than Charlie Coyle. And I think the Bruins will be if they ended up moving Krug. I don't think they want to. You know, obviously, McAvoy's coming into his own as a power play quarterback. Grzelcyk's having a really good season. You can make an argument Grzelcyk's one of the best defensemen they've had all year, that he's been able to stay healthy and do things. So we'll see what happens, you know. But I think if they trade Krug, it's going to be for a better player.
All right, 617-779-0985. I'm going to do one more call, Tom, and we're going to talk to Jake in Cranston and get through all these trade calls with you, Hags. Here we go. Jake, what's up?
Hey, guys. I just want to talk about Krug. I know a lot of people don't like him as much as I do, but I think he's such a valuable piece to the defense and to this team as a whole.
Yep.
I say the only way you think about creating him is if you're getting someone like Wayne Simmonds or Panarin, but getting them to commit long-term. I'll let you guys talk about it.
You know, Panarin is a guy, I think, if you did get a long-term commitment from him, I think that's the kind of trade you would move Torrey Krug to get a player like that that's going to be a dynamic offensive force that could team with Krejci and make that second line really go. Simmonds is another guy. I like him short-term for the right price, but he's approaching 30. He's right around 30. He's logged hard miles like a lot of those other guys. I think the next contract he gets is going to be a Backus Lucic type albatross on a team. So I don't know that you necessarily want to be on board for that part of Wayne Simmonds.
Right,
I think you just want
him
to kind of fill in for the rest of this year at the right price and then move on after that. The only way I think it makes sense to trade Torrey Krug is if it's for a really good young player that you're going to control for a long time. And, you know, whether it's Panarin or somebody else that you would have under contract for a while, if you got guarantees from Panarin. But otherwise, I don't think the Bruins are hot to trot trading Torrey Krug. I don't think they want to. I think they know there's a lot of value there. But if they get the right young player in addition, they would do it.
All right, Tim McCone, Joe Haggerty filling in for Zolak and Bertrand. Coming up next, it's today's takeaways.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.